the National Space Development Agency, the larger of Japan's two space agencies. This agency is responsible for building large rockets and for commercial applications of space, such as those involving communications and weather monitoring satellites. The smaller sister agency is the ISAS, the Institute of Space and Astronautical Science. The smaller agency oversees scientific experiments sent into space. These two Japanese space agencies have separate launch facilities 40 miles apart in the southern islands of Japan. By the way, the fact that Japan is an island creates some peculiar problems for this nation's space program. Its launch seasons are restricted to 4 months of the year, January and February, and August and September. The commercial fishing fleets of Japan, which is a nation dependent on its ocean resources, have argued that rocket boosters falling into the ocean disturb the fishing. Japan is a strong supporter of the NASA space station. They've contracted to build a module for the station. Japan's large H-2 rocket, scheduled to be launched in the next few years, will give the Japanese the capability for independent supply missions to the space station. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Damn it, this is ridiculous! This is ridiculous! This is ridiculous! This is ridiculous!
Come on, goddammit. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Goddammit. Goddammit. This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
But this is ridiculous.
Come on. Goddammit. 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 Dammit. Dammit.
Come on. Goddammit.
Or shut up. Shut up. Put up or shut up. Shut up. Put up or shut up. Or shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Come on. Goddammit. 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 This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
Come on, goddammit. Excuse me, but this is ridiculous. Put up or shut up. Up or shut up. Put up. Put up or shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Or shut up.
Come on, goddammit.
Damn it. It's ridiculous.
The air if you don't do it. We're going off the air if you don't do it. Going off the air if you don't do it. Going off the air if you don't do it. We're going off the air if you don't do it. Do it.
Up or shut up.
Damn it. It's ridiculous.
Put up or shut up.
Elf. You're only hurting yourself.
Hurting yourself.
I mean, you're only hurting yourself.
I mean, you're only hurting yourself.
I mean, you're only hurting yourself.
All right, I'm sorry. No. All right, I'm sorry. Nobody's. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. I'm sorry. Nobody's calling. All right. I'm sorry. No. All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. I'm sorry. No. 552150. 555 2150 555 2150 555 2150 555 2150 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 555 for yelling. I apologize. 555-2150. 2150. I apologize.
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Say, dream?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Agree to another debate? The answer is no. I am not going to have any more debates. Any more debates? I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates.
You know, I don't think I ever exhaled onto a microphone before. That's really quite a sound.
tells you something about, you know, the kind of microphone it is, too, by the way it accepts someone's breath. You know, there's some that can do it right and some that can do it really good, like I think this one does. And others that, well, it just doesn't capture it at all. Good evening. It's Brain Damage time. Time for the telephone talk show that solicits your opinion, among many other things. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516, and boy, what a week it's been. It's been fun, a lot of fun. Minus 3 degrees we have, and that comes out to be 27 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting it to be cloudy with a 40% chance of light snow or flurries by morning, low in the teens. And tomorrow, cloudy with a 50% chance of light snow or flurries, high near 30, and tomorrow night, cloudy, another chance of flurries, low in the teens. So if you add all the chances up, there's probably going to be a flurry or two in your area. So don't panic if you happen to see something. Well, all kinds of fun things going on this week. Just by thumbing through the newspapers, you just see so many really interesting things. Now, where do I start? Well, let's start with something fun. Antarctica, the continent we never talk about, the continent that we never go to. Well, watch, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you how unaccessible Antarctica is. Just sort of summon up a thing or two. A lot of hum on this line, but I guess we got to live with it.
Yeah, telephone installation.
Yes, hi. I guess I need AT&T, if that's possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
We're not endorsing AT&T. We just don't have a choice.
Hey, AT&T, Mike, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I'd like to know what the cost at this time of day for a call from here to Antarctica would be. Now, watch this, folks.
Let's see if we have any rates there. Hold on.
See if we have any rates there. My foot. It's a continent. It's a whole continent.
Is there life in Antarctica?
Is there life? Yeah, there's all kinds of life there.
Are you calling Casey or Scott?
Well, actually, there's a place called Palmer Station, but I think it's closest to Scott.
One moment.
Yes, there's only two people in Antarctica. Casey and Scott. You got to call one of them.
Okay, if you call at this, if you wait till 11 p.m., you have the least expensive time to call.
Okay, hey, that's on a Saturday, too.
Yes, this is every day.
Okay. And what would the rate to that be?
Antarctica? Okay, that would be $8.87 first 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What for each additional minute?
$1.83. That's the least expensive time.
What's the most expensive, just out of morbid curiosity?
$2.42 for every additional minute, the first three still being the same.
What would each additional be?
$2.42.
Okay. And do they have a country code?
You wouldn't be able to dial it from where you are. You'd have to have a IOC operator do that. You dial 00 to get me, and then I would connect you to the IOC operator.
I see. Do you know if those calls go through right away, or do you have to wait a long time?
Sometimes you have to wait. Depends on how busy it is. I don't think you'd have to wait too long for Antarctica, though.
Okay, and what time zone are they in?
We'll never
be able to get this. I mean, Antarctica is at the bottom of the Earth, so they're in every time zone, I think. I don't know how they do it. You could walk around the block and be in a different time zone there. It's like, what time zone is the North Pole, you know?
They're 6 hours behind us.
They're 6 hours behind? Is that Scott or Casey or both?
Both.
Both, okay. All right, thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Thank you.
More helpful than I thought it would be, actually. So you can call Antarctica. Maybe we'll try to call Antarctica. I don't think we should. I don't think we should because we'd probably get through and have to pay $8 for waking somebody up, and Scott or Casey, which are two forts that I believe operate there. Anyway, why am I talking about Antarctica? Okay. There was an event that took place in Antarctica a couple of days ago. It's rather disturbing event. We're making light of the whole thing, but, you know, there's bad news that comes out of there, just as there's bad news that comes out of everywhere. Looking out at a wrecked Argentine ship, an American biologist in Antarctica yesterday reported the depressing toll of the leaking oil on the fragile and once unspoiled environment. He described Spreading oil slicks, dying sea life, penguins in peril. Penguins in peril. That's a great name for a band, isn't it? Anyway, I don't know why I keep lapsing off into silliness here. Penguins in peril and adult birds disappearing and leaving their chicks to predators. The scientist Ted DeLacca was at Palmer Station, an American research installation on the Antarctica Peninsula, about 600 miles south of Cape Horn. And Cape Horn is at the tip of, was it Africa? I believe it's Africa, or perhaps it's South America. I'm not exactly certain. At the tip of Cape Horn and about a mile from the shipwreck. In a telephone interview, he said the Bahia Paraiso, a 400-foot supply ship that ran aground a week ago, was lying on its starboard side in 50 feet of water offshore. All but 20% of the hull is submerged. While officials of the Argentine Navy have played down the severity of the oil spill, American scientists at the scene have repeatedly expressed concern over the immediate and possibly long-lasting consequences. Dr. DeLacca, chief scientist for polar programs of the National Science Foundation, described the effects of the first major oil spill on the Antarctic continent in a telephone conference call with reporters. From the radio room at the station, Dr. DeLacca said he could see diesel oil and other fuel and lubrication substances are slowly but continuously leaking from the after section of the ship. Tanks of liquid propane or butane and steel drums of petroleum products were floating free of the ship. I can see an oil slick, Dr. DeLacca said, adding that all the rookeries where penguins live were surrounded by fuel oil. Absolute bedlam followed the accident, Dr. DeLacca said. More than 300 people, including about 80 tourists, abandoned the ship and reached Palmer Station by lifeboats. We were confronted with a lot of cold, wet, frightened, disoriented people, he said. The refugees have now left, the last of them taken away by a passing ship on Thursday. There are 26 scientists at the station. Surveying the area, scientists at the station found that 38 out of 40 penguins they examined had been oil-dipped, and worse may be yet to come, the scientists said, when the young penguins begin leaving the colonies next week and taking their first plunge in the surrounding waters. If they get soaked with oil, it would ruin their insulation and affect their buoyancy. Some 24,000 penguins live in rookeries near the wreck site. And flying birds have also been affected. About 40% of the adult skuas have disappeared from their nesting areas. The adults are not protecting their chicks, Dr. DeLacca reported. For whatever reasons, whether they're ill or gone, we don't know. But others of the species are killing and eating the abandoned chicks. Biologists express concern that in such a cold climate, plants and animals may take much longer to recover from the contamination than would be the case in warmer areas. For one thing, Dr. DeLacca said, warmer environments usually have a greater variety of food sources, so that damage to some species would not necessarily have a major effect throughout the food chain. But in Antarctic waters, these shrimp-like creatures known as krill are an indispensable link in the food chain for fish, birds, seals, and whales, and biologists reported widespread dying of krill after the accident. So this one event could really mess things up. Scientists at Palmer Station estimated that more than 200 cylinders of compressed gas and some 100 drums of oil have floated away from the ship. They said they had recovered about half of the cylinders and about 30 drums. An American ship bringing oil containment equipment supplied by the Science Foundation left Punta Arenas, Chile, yesterday and is expected to reach Palmer Station on Monday. An Argentine icebreaker was also on the way to assist in the salvage operation. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is a place that almost never sees human beings, completely unspoiled. You know, no Rickles home centers down there, nothing like that. Unspoiled environment, just nature. And now all this oil and propane, crap like that is floating around. It's really something. It could have a dramatic effect. Really, this is the decade of screwing up Antarctica, isn't it? With the ozone layer and now oil everywhere. One ship can do this. Imagine if it catches on. That's the news from Antarctica today. And not good news it is. Well, some other news that some people might think is good, some people might think is not good. Did you know that former Philippines President Ferdinand Marcos is probably going to die soon? That's right. That's the latest report that we got here. That caught me by surprise. I didn't know he was in that kind of shape. the Philippine vice president, the vice president of the Philippines, who, believe it or not, is fighting with the president of the Philippines, Mrs. Aquino. The vice president is not aligned with the president. It's an incredible situation. Imagine if Quayle didn't speak for Bush and they kind of fought against each other all the time. That's the way it is now in the Philippines. They have fun over there. Let's see. Relations, I'll get into Marcos in a second. Relations between Mrs. Aquino and Mr. What's his name again? Salvador H. Laurel. That's the vice president. And it was her former foreign secretary. The relations between them have long been broken, and Mr. Laurel does not speak for her administration. I don't know why he's vice president, but he doesn't speak for her administration. So, getting on to Marcos, the Philippine vice president returned to Manila yesterday after publicly urging that his one-time rival, Ferdinand E. Marcos, and 20 points to anybody who knows what the E stands for, be treated with compassion and forgiveness. The vice president spent less than 24 hours in Honolulu on what he called a mission of compassion to see Mr. Marcos, the former Philippine president, who is in critical condition at a hospital in Honolulu, his home in exile. Critical condition here. The vice president was able to see Mr. Marcos for only a few minutes Thursday. Mr. Marcos, 71 years old, had a tracheotomy this week and is reportedly unable to speak. He is breathing through a respirator and has a slight fever, a hospital spokeswoman said. Mr. Marcos's son, Ferdinand Jr., said he sent a letter this week to President Aquino saying or asking that all of the Marcoses be allowed to return to the Philippines, quote, so that my father may spend his final days in the country of his birth, unquote. But when Vice President Laurel emerged from Mr. Marcos's room, he told reporters that he did not think Mr. Marcos could survive a plane trip. And in a later statement, he said he believed reports about Mr. Marcos's deteriorating health and imminent death are accurate. Shocking, but true. The Associated Press, however, quoted Mr. Laurel as saying, as vice president, I feel I can communicate with all appropriate parties in the Philippines and in the United States to assist in resolving the matter of Marcos' return. Mr. Marcos and his wife, Imelda, and an entourage of relatives and associates left the Philippines in 1986 in the face of a military-led popular uprising. But of course, you know that. This is amazing. How did I... This looks like a front-page article or something. I don't know. Somebody handed me the same article, but it's slightly different. It looks shorter. I guess it's a different edition of the Times or something. Incredible. So that's the story. The crisis in this man's life can affect the political stability in the Philippines, Vice President Laurel said. He told reporters that this trip was not sanctioned by the Aquino government, but was made for humanitarian reasons. And get this, Imelda Marcos, you know, the 2000 shoe lady, she had been in the hospital with her husband since Tuesday after fainting and hitting her head. I mean, it's incredible. It never rains, but it falls. Pours. What does it do over there? I don't know, with these Marcoses. She was released Thursday in time to attend a luncheon with Mr. Laurel at the house of the tobacco heiress, Doris Duke. Yes, Doris Duke. Mrs. Duke, a longtime friend of the Marcoses, provided her private plane and $5 million in bail money last year for Mrs. Marcos to fly to New York to enter a not guilty plea to a federal indictment charging criminal racketeering against her and her husband. Mr. Marcos' arraignment was postponed because of his health problems, and lawyers for Mr. Marcos have been trying to have the hearing shifted to Honolulu. Yes, so that would be nice for everyone concerned. So that's interesting, too, Antarctica and Marcos on his last legs. But the clincher. The clincher, Vice President Quayle, okay? Already Vice President Quayle is getting into things. He went to El Salvador. Didn't waste any time. He's down there in El Salvador. I don't know if he's back yet. As of Friday, he was there. He actually arrived there yesterday and forcefully reemphasized the United States' commitment to human rights. But Mr. Quayle, who stopped here after attending the inauguration of Venezuela's president, repeatedly declined to link American aid directly to El Salvador's human rights record. This is Quayle here. Democracy means human rights and decency. You can't have one without the other. When I emerge, there definitely will be no doubt in their minds about the seriousness of our commitment to human rights and justice. And, of course, in recent months, the United States and El Salvador have been having kind of a difference of opinion on a series of key issues, like American officials have been pressing the Salvadoran government to reconsider its quick rejection of a rebel peace plan, which contains several concessions long sought by Washington. But the really interesting part of all this is Mr. Quayle's remarks. Unlike Mr. Bush, Mr. Quayle did not directly tie American aid to the country's human rights record. He said only that human rights violations broke the spirit of the two countries' relations and threatened to rupture the long-standing congressional consensus over El Salvador. Okay, get this. In his remarks at a news conference, Mr. Quayle made a slip and demanded that the armed forces here stop respecting human rights. Yes, he really said this, and this is exactly what he said. We expect them to work toward the elimination of human rights. Elimination of human rights in accordance with the pursuit of justice. Yes, he said that twice, leaving out the word violations. So it looks like another 4 years at least of fun. That's the latest from Quayle. Now, there's all kinds of things you can find if you just look through the newspapers, and there's no shortage of things here. This is something from Newsday earlier this week. Anybody ever hear of Billy Tipton? He was a jazz musician. Well, he died recently at age 74. He lived life as a man, performing as a jazz musician, appearing to have a wife and adopting three sons. But his death at age 74 revealed to fans, friends, and family that Billy Tipton was a woman. That's right. Donald Ball, director of Ball and Dodd Funeral Home in Spokane, Washington, said Tuesday that Tipton, who died last month of a bleeding ulcer, was a woman, and that he ought to know. Ball said he informed John Clark, one of Tipton's adopted sons, that his father was really female, so Clark would not have to learn it from the death certificate. I was just trying to break it to him gently, Ball told the Associated Press on Tuesday night. I just didn't want him to find out in a public office. It's been a very difficult thing to handle. The Spokane County coroner was not available Tuesday for comment, the coroner's office said. I'm just lost, Clark told the Spokesman Review newspaper. He said he learned the truth last Wednesday, 4 days after Tipton's death. No one knew, said Kitty Oakes, the woman that Tipton had said he married in 1960. I sure hope she knew, but I don't know. Miss Oakes, who separated from Tipton 10 years ago, refused to talk about their life together. Must have had some interesting moments. Saying Tipton died with the secret, and that should be respected. The real story about Billy Tipton doesn't have anything to do with gender. He was a fantastic, almost marvelous, and generous person. Almost marvelous? He'll always be Dad, Clark said, but I think that he should have left something behind for us, something that would have explained the truth. Oakes told funeral directors that Tipton was born December 29, 1914, in Oklahoma City and was raised in Kansas City, Missouri. The newspaper said Tipton apparently began appearing as a man to enhance his chances of success as a jazz musician. He gave up everything, Oakes said. There were certain rules and regulations in those days if you were going to be a musician. Tipton, a saxophone and piano player, performed with the Jack Teagarden, Russ Carlisle, and Scott Cameron bands, then formed the Billy Tipton Trio in the 1950s and played nightclubs throughout the West. Perhaps somebody would be kind enough to go back into the library and see if we have any records by Billy Tipton. Oh, three volunteers? Go ahead. First one that gets one wins, I don't know, a potato chip or something, whatever we have available here. That's that. What's all this? Oh, Anna Wong has been found. How nice. Anna Wong, who had walked away from her Manhattan nursing home, has been found and is in a hospital. Police spokesman Sergeant Ed Burns said the 70-year-old senile woman had wandered around Manhattan before somehow winding up at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital. Wong had been the subject of a citywide search because she had walked out of the Amsterdam nursing home at 1060 Amsterdam Avenue Friday morning without wearing a coat. Burns said Wong, who was also hard of hearing, was not injured. A spokeswoman for the hospital, however, said Wong was admitted for treatment. The hospital spokeswoman, who refused to identify herself, would not say when Wong had been admitted or what her condition was. okay. That's what it says here. It just says okay at the end of the story. I don't know what that means. It's the Associated Press for you. And speaking of the Associated Press, let's see what else is going on tonight. Oh, by the way, we are taking phone calls in case it sounds like I'm talking for a very long period of time. It's just, I want to give you an idea of all the things that are going on in the world. There's a lot of things happening. Maryland Democratic Congressman Steny Hoyer. What a weird name that is. Anyway, Steny Hoyer says some lawmakers are getting tired of being looked upon as greedy thieves. That's strange. I wonder why they're getting tired of that. Hoyer says many are willing to forego or curtail a 50% pay raise scheduled to take effect unless lawmakers vote against it. But many House Democrats at a weekend retreat in West Virginia are voicing skepticism that a plan to lower the raise to 30% will end the controversy. Record cold continues across much of the country as an Alaskan weather system makes it feel like Alaska and some of the lower 48 states. Ready? It was so cold. We have a record? No? That's sad. Well, it was so cold in St. Paul, Minnesota today, a marching band had to put athletic tape on their instruments and do pantomime. No, come on. This is crazy. This is what just came over the wire, though. To keep lips from freezing to their mouthpieces. Oh, I see. Well, we don't want that, do we? Lubbock, Texas also got a bitter taste of the cold, posting a low temperature of 4 degrees. Okay, Paraguay. Did you know the Paraguayan president was toppled? That's right. Except he did fall down. I mean, some people wobble, but they don't fall down. He wobbled and he fell down, and he's out of there. Paraguay's political situation continues to take form as a military chief consolidates his power from a violent takeover and an ousted dictator looks for a place to go. Reports link the new leader, General Andres Rodriguez, to drug trafficking in the South American country. Ousted President Alfredo Stroessner reportedly will be offered visas to several countries. Hey, do you think we're going to invade Paraguay? It'd be like another geography lesson for our school kids, you know? Got to get that drug man out of there. American interests are at stake. The French and British flags have been put away, and the doors are closed at their embassies in Afghanistan as diplomats get out of the country ahead of departing Soviet troops. Experts say with those troops gone, the Afghan government may fall from fresh challenges by rebels. You know, if the former president of Paraguay was smart, he'd go over there and simply take advantage of that situation, kind of, I don't know, trade countries or something. It's never been thought of before. Aides at the White House say the administration is less likely to slap a surcharge on savers to help rescue sinking savings and loans. President Bush today met with top advisors to come up with alternatives to the controversial proposals. The New York Times says one idea would hike premiums, banks pay for government insurance to protect depositors. That's real exciting. Protecting the disadvantaged from urban terrorism is the goal of what Attorney General Dick Thornburg calls a rougher, tougher attitude towards drug traffickers. In a speech to a law group today in Denver, Thornburg said the way to end drug-related violence is to swiftly apply the new death penalty law against pushers. Oh, boy. A man whose pregnant wife is in a coma, right here on Long Island, says he would approve of his efforts. Now, wait a minute. Well, this doesn't make any sense. A man whose pregnant wife is in a coma. And then there's the word S-A-Y-S-E. I don't know what that means. SACE would approve of his efforts to seek an abortion for her. I think it's missing a vital phrase there. Some, I don't know. Martin Klein of Upper Brookville, New York, hopes to become his wife's legal guardian to authorize the procedure, which he says can help her survive. Legal and medical experts describe the case as unprecedented. And this is a good example of how the Associated Press is a week behind everything else. We've known about this for at least a week now, and they're just reporting it. Finally, British explosives experts have disposed of a big bomb from World War II that was unearthed in a residential area of East London. Hundreds of people were evacuated as crews steamed out explosives in the 2,000-pound German bomb and then blew up the detonator. And that's some of what's going on. That's some of what we're talking about tonight. Good evening, Jim.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Okay.
Oh, is that a little loud there?
I'll get you by surprise.
Well, no, that's okay.
That's how distorted we can possibly be.
Can I say something about, it's kind of a brief correction.
Go ahead.
It won't take me more than 30 seconds.
I'm going to drink this while you're doing that.
Go right ahead. I just want to say that the piece of music that you heard on the classical program, Ernest Bloch's Symphony in C-sharp minor.
Are you plugging your show again?
Not really. I'm really
your
not.
Your show ended 20 minutes.
Really not. No. It's just, actually, this is a matter of courtesy to Arnie Pritchett, who about a week and a half ago dedicated on his show, dedicated to me, Attack of the Mushroom People by the Angry Samoans. So I just wanted to reciprocate and dedicate that piece to him.
Well, that's good.
That was it. That's all. And actually, I'm really more promoting Arnie Critch's program on, I guess now it's Wednesday nights here on WUSB. What time? Let's see. That starts at what now, I guess?
It's on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
I think he's moved to Wednesdays now under the new schedule. I think it starts at what, I guess, 7 p.m.? 8 p.m.?
No, that's bluegrass.
So I guess it must be 8 p.m.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Gee, I'm not doing too good a job.
You really got me on the
show.
Spot here. I don't know when he's on.
Well,
but he's on either Wednesday night or Thursday night. Maybe
sometime in the evening.
He could call maybe the special secret number and tell us all when you're on, because we're just sitting around here dying to
just
know.
Up in the air. I feel terrible about it. I do.
Does a good show, that, Arnie.
He does, yes. Really, he does. He's
takes on a voyage, you know,
yes.
throughout various forms
absolutely.
Of music and things like that.
Absolutely.
But then again, so do many people here. You know,
yeah.
They take you in places that you would not ordinarily go, and sometimes
that's
you
right.
wouldn't even want to go. But, you know, like, I don't know. Do you listen to the station much during the week, Jim?
I listen not a lot because I have crazy work schedules, so I don't get to listen to it that much.
Yeah, but we're on 24 hours a day.
Yeah, but
no matter when you're around,
a lot of the time that I'm home, I'm trying to catch some extra sleep.
Oh, that's selfish, selfish attitude there, Jim.
No, but I do listen as much as I can, and I like the station.
Uh huh. Well, I'm glad. It's awfully nice to know that you like this place and
I do.
That you come to. And
I do. Isn't that wonderful of me?
You know, most people hate this place. They show up anyway, you know, and just cuss out people for a couple hours and then leave. Damn unpleasant being around here.
It is.
But,
it is.
Anyway, you do anything interesting this week?
Me? Let me see. No.
Well, okay, Jim, I'll tell you something. I did something this week that I all of my life dreaded doing, okay? And I knew one day it would happen. One day I would wind up doing this, and I always wondered, what would happen if I did it, you know? What the hell? What would happen? And I found out. Hey, it was really something.
Do you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Of course. well, I've been running around like crazy doing various things, you know, over the last couple of weeks. Just like getting my hands involved in a mess of different projects and things like that, right? And sometimes I have to do what I call time sharing, where, you know, I do one thing, and then at the same time that something is taking care of itself, I go and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sometimes works out very nicely. Sometimes it winds up becoming a catastrophe, and, you know, things kind of get out of hand. Well, unfortunately, this week, that's sort of what happened. I was running around the station here, actually, typing out some things on the word processor, filing away some other things, meeting with people, calling people on the phone, stuff like that. And at the same time, running some errands, you know, getting stamps, you know, picking up mail, doing the laundry, that kind of stuff. So my laundry machine has been broken for a while now. And I figured, you know, well, obviously, about once a week I go to the laundromat and just do my clothes there, and, you know, do the wash cycle and go somewhere else, put it in the dry cycle, go somewhere else. And, you know, I've been doing that consistently for the last few weeks, that kind of cycle. You know, that I'm legendary down there because I go into the place, dump my clothes in the washing machine, turn it on, and leave. Now, I don't know what other people do, why they do this, but most people stay there the whole time. They stay there and they watch the clothes go around in circles, and they read books, they visit with each other, and just, you know, they don't seem to do anything else except go down there and hang out with the laundry. And I can never do that. I always have to be someplace else, you know, so I'm like driving around the neighborhood doing something completely different and just coming back in 40 minutes or so to, you know, move the clothes somewhere else, wherever they need to be moved. Well, I really got involved doing some things here at the radio station, and just about, I believe this was on Wednesday, was it? No, it was on Thursday, about 8 o'clock or so. You ever wake up some mornings knowing you overslept and you get that sort of that feeling in your stomach? Well, I got that feeling. I didn't know why. It's just like a warning. An alarm went off. And all of a sudden I realized I never picked up my clothes from the dryer.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a day after?
No, this was the same day. A full 6 hours earlier I had left them there. And suddenly I realized that at exactly the stroke of 8 o'clock, which coincidentally enough is the exact time they close, I just suddenly realized I never got my clothes, and they were still in the...
That's unsettling.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So what in the world am I going to do? My clothes are there. A lot of clothes, you know. I usually wait till they're all dirty and then, you know, take care of them. But, I mean, I never did anything like this. But, you know, the first thing that hit me, of course, was panic. Mm-hmm. Severe panic. I mean, I don't know what they do. Do they ship them to some other place? Do they burn them? What do they do? Even if they don't do anything, how embarrassing, you know?
Well, I don't know. You would be embarrassed by it?
I was embarrassed by it.
Well, because I don't know if it... Well, it's funny. Yeah, I guess I'd be embarrassed, too, although I don't feel that you should be embarrassed. I don't feel you did anything you should be ashamed of. It seems like it could happen to anybody, that someone can have a bunch of errands, have a lot of things in their mind, and it could just slip their mind.
Well, it slipped my mind like a slippery piece of spaghetti. That's what it slipped my mind.
Of course, maybe that's why everybody else stays there, because they're afraid they'll forget.
Uh-huh. That could be it. That could very well be it. I might have learned a very valuable lesson here. Never leave the laundromat when your clothes are still there, because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, your car could break down, mm-hmm. or, you know, you could be called into military service. You never know what's going to happen. And
your clothes could be called into military service.
Yeah, yeah. Anything could happen. So, I went back the next morning, and they had taken them out and put them in the basket. Put them in a little corner for me, and I said I was sorry and all that, but they didn't seem to mind at all. And I guess that it wasn't really that bad, because some laundromats, I won't name names, but some are so busy that you have to be there, because if you're not there, the instant your laundry stops, people jump on it and like put it someplace else,
right?
And you have to wait online for a dryer. This place isn't like that, fortunately.
That's good.
But had I left them in another place, I shudder to think what could have happened. You know, it would have been something. And it was a sobering moment, an exciting moment too. You know, I had to sleep through an entire night wondering what was going to happen.
Yeah, and imagine how your clothes felt too.
That was pretty much the highlight of the week. Mm. You know. I hung out with some, I guess you call them punks in the city the other day.
Hmm.
You know, people, you ever see people with like, they look like the Statue of Liberty, and they, their hair, and they have different colors of plumage, like peacocks, and they walk around with so many buttons, you know, they rattle when they walk. Yeah, you've seen those people.
Sure.
And, I was hanging out with a friend of mine, actually, who isn't considered, you know, one of those. I don't know what you call them. I mean, punk isn't the right word. I don't think punk is the right word.
New wave types?
No. That's way outdated.
Archaic,
yeah, that's real archaic. What are they? Hippie, mod, rocker? I don't know. Something like that.
Rocker. Someone in the
strange looking people. Strange looking people. Anyway, this is a guy named Kenny. Okay. Kenny is, I guess you would call, one of those strange people. His hair is, you know, is bright orange. Wasn't born with bright orange hair. And my friend says, you know, every time I go into the city, I run into Kenny. It's incredible. You know, I'm in a subway station, I see him. I'm in the street, I see him. You know, it's the most amazing thing. And sure enough, you know, I was hanging out with him in the city, and we run into him again, and with a bunch of other friends. And, you know, it's like fate brings us together. But then all of a sudden, it kind of struck us. You know, here's this guy with bright orange hair. It looks like it's on fire. You put him in a crowd of people in the middle of Rockefeller Center, and, you know, you would see him. So that's why you keep running into people like this, and that's probably why people like to dress up like that, because they stand out so much that they can be found very quickly in case they need to be found. So that's something I learned. But another thing that we also discovered was that strange and unusual as these people may seem and look, one thing we noticed about them was that, as individuals, they always look the same. You know, they never change the way they look. Mm. Like, Kenny's hair is always orange, and this other guy always wears the same buttons and a leather jacket, you know. And they look unusual, but to themselves, they always look the same, and they never change. They never change the way they look. So how unusual are they, really?
Hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I guess they're unusual to people. But I guess what you're saying is that there's a uniformity of their unconventionalism.
Yeah.
In that respect. And
that's pretty much it.
Which is an interesting question. It raises the question of, or I guess it shows that conventionality and unconventionality, it's another example of how it's all relative, because people who dress that way are unconventional to people who don't believe in dyeing their hair orange, let's say, or wearing all kinds of buttons or leather jackets. Let's say someone who wears three-piece suits into the city each day to go to work. And there's nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned either.
No, but
nor is there anything wrong, I think, with wearing orange hair, et cetera.
But you look so much like everybody else, you know?
But it ends up, yes, that you can have a situation, of course, where people wearing three-piece suits look a lot like other people. And by the same token, people with orange hair and leather jackets and a lot of buttons look like other people.
They all hang out together. You see, the people with the suits and ties and stuff, they all hang out with the other people's suits and ties, and people with orange hair and the buttons, they hang out with people with orange hair and blue hair and buttons and things like that. What we need is more cross-mixing. We need more of those people to hang out with the guys with the suits and that kind of thing.
And even
that's what makes it interesting.
Maybe to even take it one step further, we need people who wear three-piece suits to dye their hair orange as well.
Yeah.
Or people who dye their hair orange to take up wearing three-piece suits.
You know, it's strange. On this radio station, I've seen people in suits. I've seen many people in suits at this radio station, but I don't see anybody with orange hair.
No?
Or a mohawk. You know, what's wrong? Come on. I mean, we're an individualistic station. Nobody has really done anything awful to their faces or done something really crazy fashion-wise, and I'm wondering, you know, is this it's a symbol of the 1980s? Are we, you know, afraid to do something like this? No. I wear sometimes blue shirts and sometimes red shirts, and yeah, I change. I don't always wear the same thing. I don't always look the same. Sometimes I wear a hat, sometimes I don't. I like to see that kind of experimentation carried with other people. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Yeah, sometimes I wear I have a reversible belt, and sometimes I wear one side, sometimes I wear the other side of it.
There you go. So Jim and I, there's no problem there. So maybe some other folks around. And that goes for the university, too. People here at the campus, they should experiment a little more. I don't see any crazy people walking through the union like I used to. There seem to be a lot of deadheads on campus, though, for some reason.
Oh, yeah?
A lot more deadheads than I've seen in years.
Really? About how old would you say, on the average, these people are?
Probably in their early 20s.
Hmm.
And I don't, you know, maybe it's unfair to call them deadheads, but they sure look like deadheads. The way they walk and the way they talk and the way they kind of prance about in that you know, happy prancing style.
Hmm.
You know, the expressions, too. They sort of lead you to believe that. They're certainly based on deadheads, but they're not actual deadheads.
I see.
And I think it's great. I think it's great to see, you know, different kinds of people here. We don't want, you know, everyone to be the same, but we need more styles. We need more variety.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that does make, especially on a college campus, makes it quite interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, anyway, I was in the city last night, too, until quite late. And, should I even talk about this on the air? I saw a horrible thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Walking around the subways, apparently someone had fallen in front of a subway car.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And this was right on the F line. On 14th Street.
Mm.
Yeah, me and a friend had been walking around, and we came to the station, and there was, you know, we walked in at the front of the station, and we saw the F train there with all these cops just, standing around, and, you know, somebody or something on the platform, and they were just kind of, they were pushing the train back, you know. There was sort of, I don't know why they were pushing the train back at that point. They were just, you know, it was lurching a little bit, and the power was off. They were, like, moving the train manually.
Wow.
And, you know, the cops were just kicking everybody out, saying there's no trains anymore. And, you know, I figured the person wasn't alive, because otherwise they'd be trying to help the person.
Yes, right.
And I haven't heard anything about it since. Mm. But it was pretty sobering. But you know what, what really got me, more than anything else? Here I was, standing on a subway platform, where obviously somebody had recently been killed. And what were people doing when the cops were saying there's no trains? They were going up to the cops asking, well, what train should I catch to get here? this is New York for you. They were asking, how do I get to West 4th Street then? You know, should I go back to the L train or should I take the IRT, you know?
Well, the power was off. Maybe they should just walk down the tracks. No, I'm just kidding.
And
folks,
then there's ladies, you know, with kids downstairs complaining that they have to take this train now.
Gosh.
You know, and you know, what a pain it all is. And you know, they should, like, do something else. They should do something better. They should be prepared for this kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, I felt like I was the only person on the platform who realized that somebody had just died there, you know, and was still there.
Wow.
Was still lying dead on the platform, you know, mangled by a subway train.
That's...
And everybody's just wandering around as if nothing had happened, you know?
It's extraordinary. It's as if somebody... had been in the audience of the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. on April 14th, 1865, going up to the box office when the performance was halted and asking if there are any other shows in town that are worth seeing that
refund.
Night, or asking for a refund or something like that, yeah.
I mean, I can't believe it. I've heard of that kind of thing before, but I didn't see anybody who really looked shocked and
really
was
amazing.
Appalled. I don't know, you know, how long ago it had happened. You know, we just got there and... there was apparently the aftermath, but they were, you know, in the process of kicking people out, so it must have been fairly recent.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you'd think that...
Certainly within the last, you know, hour or so.
Well, it shows, you see, it could be looked at two ways. It shows either extreme callousness, or there are those that would say this shows the resiliency of New Yorkers, although it really does strike me as kind of bizarre, because, especially going up to an actual policeman, because you would more associate the policeman with taking care of the gruesome details associated with the person that had been hit by the train, and not as someone dispensing information on alternative routes. You know, it's
you know, the policemen were just pretty much kicking people out. I didn't see them doing anything else. They just, you know, talking amongst themselves and just saying everybody out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they, you know, that's the only role I saw them in, and they were just kind of an information source for those people that wanted to know what was going on. And I still haven't heard anything else as far as what it all meant.
Mm.
So that was something. That's the first time I've ever seen that. And hopefully,
sure.
You know, thank God I wasn't there at the moment it happened. I probably would have been quite a... Well, you know, who knows? New York has probably got through that okay, too, without any kind of trauma, you know?
Yeah, I remember, I think I might have mentioned once here on the show that... so I'm not going to go into the details about it, repeat myself, but where I... fortunately, these are two stories with happy endings... but saw something like that almost happen once on the Long Island Railroad, when somebody who I guess was inebriated jumped onto a track.
Right, but he got out.
But he got out. The train, that is to say, there was a train coming in the station, barreling into the station, but not barreling so fast that the engineer couldn't stop it in time. And once also in the subway station, a man fell down on the tracks, and a subway train was once again coming into the station. And rather quickly, but again, not so fast that the motorman didn't stop the train.
Was
No, he was okay. They picked him up.
I can't believe I just said that either. You know,
was
he squished? Because
everybody
just sort of takes it as a joke.
Well, you know,
it's not a joke. Some guy actually got run over. I don't know.
No, I understand.
I guess if you see
saying.
The thing, it makes more of a difference.
Yeah, it's different. It does. When I saw it about to happen, it really was alarming. But
I hear somebody talking to me. Who's there?
Eric, it's Bill. I don't know how...
Bill!
Fox.
Oh,
Bill Fox. Well, Bill Fox is in my headphones somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how I got on...
I don't know either.
How I picked up
Bill
today.
Fox, you have some mystical way of appearing in people's headphones. where are you, pray tell?
I'm in Wading River.
You're in Wading River? Well, that must explain it all.
On a scout camping trip.
On the telephone?
In fact, I brought one of my scouts to say hello.
You're on a scout camping trip?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have your radio on?
No, actually, I don't.
Oh.
Actually, we could probably get a radio, but...
I sure hope so. But what is it you would like to say to us? You have a scout there?
I'm going to say hello out from way out here in Wading River.
Okay.
And I want you to meet one of the scouts out here. This is Gene.
Gene?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Okay.
Are you picking us up on a telephone line?
How's it going?
Hi, Gene. How are you?
Oh.
You're a scout, huh?
Yes, I am.
Well, would you like to explain to our listeners what a scout does?
You want to explain what the weekend, what we're doing this weekend?
Oh, yeah. What are you doing now? Besides,
right now, working on a religious award called the Pope Pius.
Uh-huh.
Basically, a retreat. All right? And the scouts come out, and they, you know, in prayer, and they go to Mass, and an offer concession. And what they do is they have to go before board review, okay, and they explain the people on that board, which is an adult and two scouts who have taken the Pope Pius Award and have earned it, and they ask them questions on what, the award. Some of the questions are like, well, some of the things you have to do for the award are like, interview parents and
Well, now, what kind of a scout are you?
Okay, I'm a Boy Scout. Okay, and then there's also I'm also an Explorer. So there's different. My rank is life. I'm a life scout.
A life scout.
Life scout.
Okay.
But
Wow, that's interesting.
Life is pretty much for like older kids.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Now this is some kind of religious group too, right?
Yeah, well, the Pope Pius is a Catholic award.
Okay, but not all Boy Scouts do that.
No. But okay. The thing is, if you have a scout that's Jewish.
Yeah.
That's the what was it again? The Netamid, which is another Jewish award. We offer just about the Boy Scouts of America offers just about every religious award.
Uh oh, payphone. Don't put a quarter in. Put a nickel in.
A nickel in.
Yeah. Because it'll treat a quarter as a nickel. There we go, that's a nickel. Let me ask you something. Are there many atheist Boy Scouts?
Are there many atheists?
I don't want to cause trouble, but...
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I don't think there could be many atheist Scouts.
Well, is that a contradiction? I mean, can you be a Scout and be an atheist at the same time, or do you have to be some sort of religious...
The scout law, all the scout law dictates is, trust, like moral codes, like how you trustworthy and loyal.
Uh-huh.
The scout oath, on my honor, to do my best, do my duty, to guard my country.
Uh-huh.
So, an atheist,
would have trouble with that, yeah.
That's the oath, and when you take the oath, you're sort of saying what you believe in and what you're standing by, so... If an atheist does not see God as non-existent, then I it's pretty hard for him to be a Boy Scout.
Yeah, yeah, that would be something. I wonder if there are any people out there that that have thoughts on that relationship between atheists or agnostics and Boy Scouts. I never even thought of it before.
Mm. Yeah, well, the camp we're at, what is it, Episcopalian? It's Episcopalian camp, but that has nothing to do with our program. We're just using facilities.
I see.
But we've been using these facilities for the past 6 years.
Now, I don't know if Bill said you're on a camping trip. Are you on a camping trip?
It's
kind of called for that, isn't it?
Not really a camping trip. It's because, we're sort of indoors.
Oh, that's good.
Like the house that we're in, it's called the Benson House. Uh-huh. It was owned by a sea captain over 100 years ago. The house is over 100 years old, and it overlooks the sea. It's really, it's a nice house.
Uh-huh.
And we done it.
10 cents, please.
Ooh, don't give her 10 cents. Don't worry about it.
Cents for the past 2 minutes.
Shut up, lady. Don't worry about her. She's a friend of mine. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
I wouldn't worry about her.
Yeah. but that's, I have my board today.
Your telephone overtime charge for 2 minutes is 10 cents.
But we're still talking, operator.
Yes, that was for past talking.
Oh, how about future talking? How do we do that? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. She interrupted us. I didn't know they interrupted the calls while you were still talking. I thought they waited until after you were finished.
No, that's why I give my mother a hard time, because she works for the telephone company.
What does she do?
She's not an operator. She's a business representative. She deals with, customer complaints.
Where does she work? Port Jefferson?
No, she works in the city. She works at 2 World Trade Center.
Oh, wow. That must be something. That's quite a job. She must have a lot of stories to tell.
my brother works also in the city, but he works in Jamaica and Hollis.
Uh-huh.
Service technician. Which climbs the poles and does repairs on phones and stuff.
Oh, that's fun. Anyway, listen, we're going to get on to some more calls, but it was fascinating hearing about this.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Our number is 632-6901. We're about to start taking phone calls. And, Jim, are you still there?
Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
It was. That just kind of appeared there, huh?
That just kind of appeared in my head. I don't know why.
I didn't see it.
Maybe it was an act of God
over here,
or something. An act of God
maybe.
Or scout.
Anyway, I was wondering whether the in a situation where a person is an atheist and wants to become a Boy Scout, whether what they could do is simply omit the term under God when they take the oath, and the 12th point of the Scout law, which is reverence, maybe that could just be taken to mean any type of system of ethics, not having to belong to a specific
least trustworthy people I know believe in God, and some of the most trustworthy people I know don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be surprised.
This under God stuff, I don't think is what makes the difference at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's these religious programs in scouting are a great thing, and there's nothing wrong with them. And I think scouting is a great thing, but I'd be surprised if I found out that you could not belong to the Boy Scouts if you were an atheist. It just wouldn't seem right to me.
Well,
to keep somebody from being for that reason.
How many Boy Scouts actually would challenge that? You know, at whatever age you become a Boy Scout, I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't have been in the position to argue someone on theological grounds. You know. But if someone does do that, or someone has done that, please let us know, because that's certainly something.
It's a fascinating question.
It is. 632-6901, area code 516. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Brain Damage is the program. Eric Corley here, Jim Wiener there. And phone calls coming in left and right. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
The whole kitchen, say.
That didn't make any sense. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I got to lower the radio.
Okay, lower the radio.
Here we are. Ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, plunge into the depths of despair.
Oh, boy.
Here he is, the misanthropic reclusive crank.
Okay, we can deal with it.
Passionate revolutionary and friend of the little guy. It's Big Jim Doomsayer here.
What's new?
Well, let's see. Am I allowed to review last week's program a little bit?
Review last week's program?
Oh, by the way, I have some information about the solar energy. So everybody get their pens and pencils ready so that they could... Maybe they can find a better...
Jim,
yes.
Not you, Jim. Jim on the phone, Jim.
Oh.
Jim.
Yes, you.
I'm Doomsayer.
Now, you are talking on a portable phone.
Uh-oh, it's coming in bad?
You're talking on a cordless phone, I can tell.
Yeah, let me fix it. How's that, better?
Can you do me a favor?
What? Hang up.
No. That'll come later.
Let me shut the television off.
No, don't worry about it. Look. Do you know your old telephones, the old Bell system phones that you used to use?
Huh?
You ever drop them on the phone on the floor and they go bung da bung da bung, you know, like that?
Really good phones. I don't know why they get away with
them.
Phones. They get away with them because they laugh, that's why.
Can I ask you to do me a favor?
What?
Drop your phone on the floor.
Huh?
No, I mean, drop your phone on the floor. I'd just like to see what kind of noise it makes and if it can survive.
You want me to drop my phone on the floor?
Well, look, let's just say you had an accident, right? Your fingers were slippery or something. Or you tripped, you know, and these things happen.
There's
phones
a payback
fall.
For all the things I've never said on your show. I can just
phones
feel
always
that.
Fall. They should be designed to fall.
Eric, this is a payback.
Why,
you're,
Mike
you're,
Uhas.
You're trying to pay me back for all the silly
Mike
things
Uhas, who I used to do a radio program with, once dropped his phone by accident out of the second-story window of his house. It hit the ground, and it still worked. I don't think it could dial the number 4, but apart from that, it was fine.
Why am I being treated in this manner?
Now, you're being treated in an experimental manner because we want to find out.
I'd be honored.
I'd be honored if I had a cordless phone and I was asked to... I mean, think of the thousands of people that are listening to you right now that will learn what happens to a cordless phone when it's dropped on the floor.
But the next caller drop his phone. What
because the next caller probably doesn't have a cordless phone.
Something.
Jim, you're a special person. You have a cordless phone and you're talking on the radio now. You can make radio history and telephone history at the same time.
How much
did I give out my figures? I have figures here for the solar panels.
I'll tell you what. Toss your phone up into the air and catch it. Can you do that?
That's terrible. I just can't do it.
You don't have faith in yourself? You don't think you'd be able to catch it?
This is just... You planned this all week.
Look, I didn't know you were going to call on a cordless phone, but as long as you're on one, we might as well, break some ground with it. No, no pun intended.
That later.
Uh-huh.
I have these figures here that I researched.
Okay. Look, I'll let you read your figures and go through all that stuff, but you have to promise me, at some point, while you're talking about the figures and everything like that, you will accidentally drop your telephone on the floor. Can you do that?
I'll drop the phone at the end. I can't believe this.
Okay. As long as you agree to that, I will let you go on.
The antenna's already bent, so it doesn't make any difference.
I hope you're not going to blame that on me.
This is blackmail.
No, this is brain damage. Just continue with your expose. Go ahead.
Well, first I've got to review what Mr. Radio said about Norm.
Radio? What does Mr. Radio have to do with any of this or anything?
Well, I was upset. He's an all right guy, Mr. Radio, but he didn't have to point out Norm's beer belly. I mean, that was inappropriate.
Beer belly?
I like Mr. Radio. But I don't think it was a good idea.
That's right. Norm keeps a beer belly in the locker. I forgot about that. How did he know about that? Norm has a portable beer belly.
We can forget about that now. I had to say that. We had a lot of people calling me the pessimist.
You see, Norm plays Santa Claus every now and then, and for that you need a beer belly, so he has an attachable one.
Norm.
I don't know how Mr. Radio found out about it, unless Mr. Radio is one of the kids that sits on his lap or something. I don't know.
I'm really getting it this week. You're being very sarcastic in a wry way today.
A wry way.
Is there a way to be sarcastic and not be wry?
Do you know how to spell wry?
They're calling me the pessimist.
Do you know how to spell wry?
W-R-Y.
That's right. Continue.
This is rough. You're just trying to discourage me from ever calling again. I can sense it, Eric.
If I was trying to discourage you, I could transfer you someplace, but
that's
I haven't
true.
Done that.
You're very good at that. You transferred me to Mr. Radio one day. He's all right on the air, but I talking to him directly on the phone. It was a whole new story. But now, wait a minute. Make sure everybody's getting their pens and pencils ready, because somebody's going to outdo me on this.
Why, are we going to drop our pens and pencils?
Jim in the studio, Jim.
Yes.
Can you hear me? You're overmodulating terribly.
Can you
No, not you, the other one. Can you adjust your level so that you peak at 100 and I'll adjust you in here?
Okay. Well, now I'm peaking at 100.
Okay, beautiful. Go
now
ahead.
I'm peaking at 100.
You're fine now.
Okay.
Okay, Jim on the phone. Go ahead.
Okay, now wait a minute. Before we get to these things, let me just say these people who are calling me a pessimist have got a lot of nerve.
Uh-huh.
Remember, I'm just stating the facts the way they are. A lot of people like to live in their little fantasy lands, but don't. Just for a little example, just remember, just one little thing. Madagascar has what? 80% of its rainforest. 80%.
80%.
Can never be replaced. It's gone forever. It's desert.
Did you hear what I was saying before about Antarctica?
Yeah.
Well, that's something too. And Antarctica doesn't even have rainforests, but they're messing things up down there already.
I'm telling you, there's so many people in the world. And I have got it worse than any other person that's tried to fight anything. Because I got religion against me, because there's a lot of religious fanatics out there who say, well, God will just add more dirt and make the world bigger, so don't worry about it.
Wait a minute. I'd love for you to find me that in writing someplace.
Up. I talk to these people. I say, look, I talk about abortion. I say, look, we have no population control. So, you know, at least we got abortion. If these women want to do that with their bodies, let them have their abortions. Leave them alone. Because these people who are complaining about traffic and this and that and pollution, they're not going to take care of these kids. The world's overpopulated. And I stand alone in this, practically. I have nothing going for me.
What makes you think you stand alone?
I know I stand alone.
Well, I think lots of people agree with what you're saying.
Well, I never meet them. I see them. I saw Isaac Asimov on TV. He had some very, he had some things to say about what I say, and they were very strong. He thinks that people should not celebrate childbirth the way they do. It's such a great thing.
Well, that's ridiculous. Now, how can somebody have such a pessimistic outlook?
Well, he says that because he sees it the way I see it. You know, all right. You know, it's great to have a kid, but it's overdone.
But how can you not celebrate life itself, you know?
No, but you get we have too much of it now.
You're doing too much thinking. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know, but somebody's got to think about it.
But not all the time. Not every moment. There's times to be thoughtful and times to just live for the moment.
But it's nice to, I think that somebody should speak out and make people aware of the fact that, look at the fossil fuels. You probably don't even realize that the fuel that... The fossil fuel, the same gas that you put in the car, they use that to fertilize the food that is grown. They uh-huh. use it to make the pesticide, and they use it to cultivate it. And look at how many people there are. What's going to happen when the fossil fuels start running out? And you're all complaining about...
Whoa, hold on.
Let's go!
Sorry, we had a train come through. What was that?
What?
No, continue. Sorry about that.
Oh.
We just had an interruption.
I'm just saying that. You know, we're using so much energy. We're so goddamn greedy. We're not like any other creature on this whole planet. We're so freaking greedy.
Uh-huh.
We're making a mess, and nobody sees it. It's in the paper all the time, but I don't see one person seeing the forest for the trees. Nobody. Long Island is being developed like...
Well, I can't believe you would say that. After hearing all the outcry against these things, how can you say not one person sees...
I've never seen a letter in Newsday pertaining to the fact that, hey, in 1950s, there weren't that many people here. Now there's a lot. Everybody's kids had kids, and all those kids grew up and had to have a place to go, and now everybody's kids...
You don't see one letter in Newsday against all the development and against all the horrible things that are going on? You don't see that?
Where it comes from.
What edition do you get?
Now, wait a minute.
I think the pessimist edition.
Everybody wants to help the homeless, okay? I mean, you got it. What are you going to do? But if you give all the homeless a place to live, they're going to breed more people, and then some of them are going to...
Well, wait a minute. A lot of the homeless people came from homes, you know? They didn't just suddenly...
It's not like a species.
They weren't born on the streets. They used to have homes, yeah. And then they couldn't afford them anymore. Right. That's how they became homeless. Get it? You know, that's not the issue. The issue is...
Well, we cannot keep cutting down all the woods and everything the way we are. If we do, we may see it in our lifetime. I think we...
Well, obviously, we're seeing it now. We're seeing it every summer with the garbage washing up on shore. We're seeing the ozone go away. You know, we're seeing horrible things happen, and we have to come to terms. Look, Planet Earth was the whatever thing of the year in Time magazine.
Get that way, Eric.
There's a reason for that. People are becoming aware that this planet is being destroyed.
And I think the solution...
I'm a fanatic about it. You know, I come across as being a fanatic.
No, I don't think he's a fanatic.
But I'm compelled to do this for some reason.
No, I think it's...
I don't know. I have no idea why.
Jim on the phone. Can you hear Jim in the studio?
No, I never met him, but I...
Well, no, can you hear him?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear him on the radio? Because he's trying to speak, and you're interrupting him.
Well, no, he's not. No, no, no.
You're interrupting him viciously.
No, he's not.
My radio turned down.
You're being a real snob, in fact.
No, he's not.
How am I supposed to listen to
Jim is very upset.
Eric!
I can barely control Jim. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. Now, I'm going to have to ask Jim on the phone to politely be quiet, and Jim in the studio politely speak up now.
Eric.
All right, I'll turn the radio up.
Okay, could he...
Turn the radio up.
Yeah, good. There we go.
Can you hear me now, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Eric was kidding around. I really wasn't insulted. You weren't being vicious. We don't think you're being vicious. He was just kidding around.
Jim, you're being too kind.
No, I'm not being too kind. No, I think that you're raising important issues, Jim, on the phone. And I think that as Eric said, we started to see some tangible results. A lot of people started to see tangible results of what you're talking about, and I think it is important for people to be aware of it. But I have an alternative suggestion. Perhaps people should try to enjoy things like medical debris washed up on the beach or lack of the ozone layer. I mean, that's
ridiculous. Enjoy them?
Yes, I mean, I'm being silly because obviously you can't... Obviously you can't...
Well, you certainly are being silly because there isn't enough to go around for everyone to enjoy yet.
That's right.
So, but
you're just going to cause some kind of uproar. You know?
No, you're right. I'm only being silly, but I think that Jim is raising issues that... are important. I don't think he's a pessimist. I don't think you're, if you can hear me, Jim, I don't think you're a pessimist. I think what it is that what Eric was saying is that there's nothing wrong with you bringing this to people's attention. You're not doing something, you're not being a party pooper, because actually, if these things aren't kept alive as issues, then more and more dire consequences will result, and more and more people will tangibly feel, be aware of the results. But I think what Eric was saying was that you personally don't have to take it so hard. In other words, I
will take it hard. Can't help it. I've got to take it hard. I'm compelled to.
No,
Jim on the phone. When was the last time you just sat back and enjoyed something without worrying about the rest of the world? Have you done that recently?
Yeah, tonight I went to the mall.
You went to the mall and you just sort of enjoy the feeling of being in an artificial environment that has oxygen pumped in from the outside and gravity simulating conditions and things like that.
I work at the university. I get to enjoy that every day.
Well, the thing is, you have to forget about these things occasionally, and that means when you think about them, you can think a little bit more logically. If you always think about these things, you're going to become obsessed, and that's when you start losing your perspective.
This has nothing to do with my personal life. I have a good time. I go out and have a good time, but still. I lost two girlfriends over this because they wanted to have babies, and I feel so strongly against having any kids. I will not bring any kids into this world. I will not. I would be.
Yes, but Jim, if you don't bring kids into the world, who's going to change things in the future?
I don't. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know,
do you think the whole human race should just stop? Is that what you're saying? Or do you think someone else should bring their kids into the world and you don't want to bring your kids? I don't understand the logic.
It's good to have responsible, bring up responsible kids. It's great. But I really honestly feel that we've gone past that point and nature's resilience is gone. And I have a feeling that if we stop now, it's already too late. I really feel that because I look into this and we're just the destruction to this planet. I don't think that you really touched ground with this. You don't realize how much energy we have taken, how much stuff we have ruined. I mean 21 million people a day are added to the population, and every one of those people takes more energy, more food. It's just, I mean, we're like no other animal on this whole planet. It's unbelievable. I can enjoy myself, but I like to know about it.
Uh-huh.
You know. Now, where was I? I want to tell you about the solar thing. The solar,
Okay, well, make it quick, because we got a lot of other calls, and we want you to drop your phone, too, so hurry up.
Yeah, I've got to do that, but somebody might want to challenge you. All right, I came up with to run my air conditioner in the summer during the day using solar panels, okay? I used an inefficient one, of course. You know, leave it to me to pick an inefficient one. All right, let's say it draws 10 amps, and it's 120 volts, it's 1,200 watts, okay? I can get solar panels that dish out 1.5 amps each, 21.9 watts each, and they give DC current, okay? They give DC, and my air conditioner runs on AC. So what I'm going to need is an inverter to turn that DC into AC. And I figured into the equation I have an inverter that's 80% efficient. Okay? Now I'm going to need 1,500 watts. So each one of these panels is $195 each. Okay? I need 68 panels to run this air conditioner during the day in the summer. That comes out to $13,000, $13,300. Run that. We're still getting a good deal from Wilco. I hate it.
Well,
I've got to drop the phone. How did that sound?
Well, it sounds good.
You know, I was going to pay her up here, Bill. Well, I fixed this stuff myself, but, you know. Do you want me to throw it up in the air now?
Yeah, throw it up in the air, please.
Oh, we're going to throw it up in the air. Oops, we dropped it again. You know, something's rattling around in there now. Eric, you know, I just can't believe that you egged me on to do this. This is, like, so embarrassing.
Yes,
no,
but you have to admit,
you're a good sport.
You have to admit it's fun. I mean, here you are on a Saturday night at 11:17, throwing your phone up in the air and having the time of your life.
I mean, you know, you say I'm a party pooper, and here I am throwing my phone around.
Well, you're not a party pooper.
No, I mean, come on. And remember, $13,300 to run that air conditioner in the summer. So I want somebody to challenge that, okay? This is if I use solar panels, and this is only during the day, okay?
Do you need an air conditioner?
I'm a spoiled brat, aren't I?
Yeah, but you know what your air conditioner does to the ozone layer?
Well, that's if you break open the enclosed, you know, the...
If the freon leaks out, which it does many, many times.
Only if you don't... You can use ammonia, but they don't use that anymore because it's poisonous. They used to use ammonia.
Well, I suggest if you're really serious about this whole, you know, human stuff, you know, the saga of how we're wasting everything, stop wasting things. Air conditioners are wastes.
Well, I should get rid of the Corvette. It's what I should get rid of.
Listen to this guy. He's got air conditioners. I bet you got air conditioning in the Corvette, right?
Of course. Well, I got to. You're the one who said I got to live a little, right?
You're living a little too much.
Hey, come on now. I don't know. You should see my room. I got nothing in here but a bed and a stereo and a TV.
How many watts per channel?
Well, I bought it when I was in the Navy. It's got 50 watts.
That's not so bad. Anyway, look, we're going to get on to another call, but thanks for calling.
Okay. Take care, Eric.
You too.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. That's our telephone number. We're talking about all kinds of neat things. Let's see who else is out there. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
How you doing, Eric?
Okay. How are you?
I believe the phone got through.
Yeah?
I'm on a cordless phone, too. Yeah. This is Rich from Massapequa.
You're on a cordless phone?
Yeah.
Wow. Your cordless phone sounds much better, except your voice isn't as loud.
Yeah, well, I'm tired, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sleeping.
So, what's going through your mind today?
I don't know. I guess you talk about the ozone, so I like to add to it that.
I'd like to add to it, too. That's the problem. We got to add to it. But go ahead.
All right. By the year 2020, the Alps will melt. All right.
The Swiss Alps?
Yes.
Are going to melt? Oh, come on. I can't handle any more bad news.
They're going to melt. I'm serious. And it's going to raise the entire sea level about 10 feet.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a problem.
Gee.
It's going to take a pretty large part of the island away from us.
Now, this is the first I've heard of this.
When is this supposed to happen?
You mean the Swiss Alps over in Switzerland are going to melt and make all the water go up 10 feet.
And when is this supposed to happen?
By 2020.
Hmm.
It's going to...
Are you trying to start a vicious rumor?
No.
Or is this really true? Did you read this in the Science Times or something?
Really true.
Oh, boy. Well, why, pray tell, are they going to melt?
Because the ozone layer is, you know, getting a large gap in it, as you know.
Yeah.
Going to expand, and the greenhouse effect is taking it is taking effect right now, as we know. Not right now though, because the temperature is so cold.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Sometimes it seems to be getting colder, and sometimes it seems to be getting warmer. So, there was something about the greenhouse effect saying that the temperature is going to go up maybe another 8 to 10 degrees over the next century.
Yeah.
Would that be enough to melt the Swiss Alps?
Yeah, it's slowly but surely. It's definitely a fact that. You know, into the next century, Long Island will slowly be developed by the sea.
Uh-huh.
I hate to put it that way, you know, but it's going to happen. The water table, you know, on the South Shore, of course, we're going to lose, if it goes up 10 feet, you're going to lose a little bit. You know? Bring the water table up, and God knows what will happen. I don't know. You know, it's sad to think about. Because we're making it happen. We're doing it. You know, as you were talking about before with the other guy, about the air conditioners, you know, the Freon. And
yeah.
Well, we're causing this problem.
Uh-huh.
And it's just...
Well, I don't know what to do. How do we save the Swiss Alps now?
I don't know. That's we all have to, I guess, pitch in our own ways.
Donate snow to Switzerland.
Yeah, let's bring some snow to Switzerland. Well, that could make it worse if that melts, too. Maybe, I got it, maybe if we suck out 10 feet of water from the ocean and, I don't know, send it someplace else where they don't have any water.
Send it to the Alps.
Freeze it.
I don't know, but there's got to be a solution here because I don't want 10 more feet of water in the ocean. There's plenty in there already.
It's salty, too.
That's a lot. Well, wait a minute. Now, the Swiss Alps, are they on the water? Are they near the water, the Swiss Alps? Because if they're not... And that water gets into the ocean, that means it's going to have to flood something to get there.
Good point.
It's sad, isn't it?
Now, I'm no scientist or anything like that.
Switzerland is landlocked, isn't it?
I think so.
Is there a Swiss Navy that you know of?
I don't know.
Well, maybe there is a Swiss Navy.
Well, wait,
Navy,
they're mutual. They don't have to have anything.
No, but they have. No, they have. They have military forces.
Swiss guards.
But they also have a Swiss
army.
They
guard the Pope.
But there is a Swiss army. There is a national service there.
Swiss army knives.
But there is a Swiss army. No, there is a Swiss army.
No, that's the whole point.
No,
only Swiss Army knives.
No,
there's no Swiss Army to use them.
I know of
that's
some,
why
I
it's
know
so
somebody.
Non-violent, because there's
right.
no Swiss Army to use the knives.
It's non-violent.
Sit around in people's display cases.
It's non-violent.
I read up on this in Reader's Digest. I know.
Reader's Digest. Look, I met somebody. I'm not against Reader's Digest, but I met somebody from Switzerland, the Swiss person, who had to serve some time in the Swiss Army.
Jim, people often lie. Magazines do not.
Wasn't... Yes, it does lie. If you rest it on its side, it's lying
pointless.
Down.
Well, look, I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know how to even approach this problem.
I've got a few facts here about Long Island, if anyone's interested.
Well, facts are stubborn things. Go ahead.
Okay, I got these together, okay? It's dark, so it's hard to read. Okay. The island, each end of the island has a different climate, right? There's 12 days difference in spring and a longer growing season out east.
I'm sorry, there's 12 days difference in...
longer growing season out east, okay? So if you go into Queens, all right, let's say it's the spring in Queens, all right? And, or it's generally the spring, all right? And you're going to Queens. Ooh, you hear the interference? Yeah, it's a great cordless phone.
Yeah, it's interesting, that cordless phone, it sounds... I don't know. It might just be me, but when I get calls from people in Miller Place, I always get that same noise.
Yes.
But it must be the brand of the cordless phone.
This is an AT&T.
But you're in Massapequa. That's weird. I have to, like, look into that. An AT&T cordless phone in Massapequa sounds like a regular phone from Miller Place.
Well,
that's weird.
But what were you saying about...
A lot of people can't tell the difference. I have a friend who can tell, like, what part of the country people are calling from by the sound of the phone that it makes. But go ahead, sir. Sorry to digress.
There are two different climates that mean a lot. Arctic and the tropical, okay? Thus, we have both types of vegetation and marine life.
Uh-huh.
Getting better here. All right. The only other pine barrens in the country...
are in New Jersey.
Yes. Hey, that's pretty good.
I knew that.
Are you reading the same thing I'm reading?
No, I just knew that.
Okay.
Because, you know, the guy who knows about pine barrens is our county legislator, Steve Englebright. He knows about these things. He works at the university, and he tells us. He has a little nature... get-togethers now and then and tells people all about these things. In fact, if you ever want to experience something that's really a lot of fun, go out to the Pine Barrens in, what's that town? Manorville, out east, during the month of October, and you can witness the flight of the buck moth. That's all these weird moths that only exist in Pine Barren areas, and they do their mating dance then, and you can see them all flying all over the place looking for females. And if you catch a female and put it in a cage... within moments, all these male ones will be swarming.
Have you ever caught a female?
What's that?
Have you ever caught a female?
No, but I was with somebody who did.
Okay.
Yeah. Female buck moth, he's talking about.
All right, well, here's some more stuff. Want to hear this?
Maybe. Go ahead.
Water temperatures vary more here than anywhere else in the world. Okay, the water temperatures over here vary from about 30 degrees Fahrenheit to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay.
85 degrees Fahrenheit? That's pretty warm.
And this is the best potato-growing area in the eastern part of the country.
Okay. Long Island potatoes, yes.
Half of all the clams eaten in the U.S. come from the Great South Bay.
Half of all what?
Half of all the clams eaten in the U.S. come
really?
From the South Bay.
That's something.
Okay. All our available drinking water is found below us.
Uh-huh.
It's from reservoirs. All right. Our culture is greatly influenced by the Indians, of course.
Right. A lot of towns named after Indians, Setauket, Cutchogue. What's that? Massapequa?
Yes. Indians originally dug the Shinnecock Canal.
Yeah, why did they do that?
They wanted to help to move their canoes.
Okay.
They didn't want to take them on land, of course, and if they didn't want to go all the way around, you know what I'm talking about, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, I get the gist.
All right. And there was no summer on Long Island in 1816.
Why? Or was it canceled?
There's really, I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah, I guess we're just canceled. But
no summer, huh? It must have been bad that year.
Yeah. You know why? All right, there's two major, during that year, there are two major volcanic eruptions in Europe.
Really? Where?
I don't know to be exact. I don't know the exact place where they were. But there are two major eruptions.
Uh-huh.
Ash was in the sky. It was so immense that it just clouded up the sun. There was no chance for any thing to sprout, There was no summer on Long Island.
Where are you getting these facts from?
I'm getting these from sort of, my own knowledge, I'm reading them off a sheet I got, okay?
A sheet? Well, where did you get the sheet?
I don't know. It sounded so.
Some sort of,
betting
store or something? Or is this something...
A betting store? No, I got it from Dow Jones.
Dow Jones. Okay, well, I'm not going to dispute that.
All right.
Well, that's kind of the same thing as a betting concern, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, I suppose. We have time for one or two more facts, and we got to get on to another call.
Here we go. New York City was the first capital of the U.S.
Okay.
Right. George Washington ordered the building of the Montauk Lighthouse.
Did he? Well, how about that?
And the first lighthouse in America. Okay.
The Montauk Lighthouse.
And out of 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, three were from Long Island. Okay. All right. This is a crazy thing here. This is really... a weird fact, but here we go. It's the last one I'll give you tonight, all right? Of about 3,600 movie theaters in the U.S., 1,200 are on Long Island.
That's insane.
One-third, yes.
Fascinating.
Wait a minute. How could there be so many on Long Island? What do other people in the rest of the country do?
They get bored, I guess, you know?
Wait, you mean there are, oh, but there are only 3,600 theaters in all of the United States?
Yep.
That's not enough
that's
to go around.
That's also interesting.
Isn't it? I know. It's amazing.
Really,
and,
that's quite fascinating.
I guess everyone else is called radio stations only, you know?
Why don't you send us a copy of that? I'd like to see it.
I don't know where to send it to.
Send it to WUSB, State University of New York. It's Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
Zip code down here.
11794.
11794?
Yeah.
Do you have a fax?
No, we don't have a fax, but we should get one, shouldn't we?
Should. Every radio station has a fax nowadays.
Well, we'll think about it.
Can you send me some bumper stickers, too?
Send a request with your little sheet, and we'll send you bumper stickers.
Because I want to give them out.
Do something about it, or nothing's going to happen.
Well, now, at what point do we all simultaneously begin doing something? You know, I think
never
it's got...
did something. See, that's what I'm saying. We have to... If I'm going to do anything, then everybody else has to do something. So let's all start at
so
the same time.
So you're saying that if you do something and everyone around you doesn't do something, you're not going to do anything?
No, but... I say we should, like, 1990, January 1st, everybody cuts down 50%. Then, like, the Swiss Alps, I don't know where I
but
got that.
But why
from.
Wait? Why not just start?
Start now?
Why not?
Okay, tomorrow officially everybody starts, okay? Everybody listening? You're not going to turn on any lights? You're not going
to... Well, you know, I think you might be carrying it to an extreme, too. You know, it's is that going to solve all our problems just to make ourselves miserable? It's going to make it worse because then we'll say, well, we can't solve our problems without making ourselves miserable. You know, you cut down to a reasonable degree, and maybe you don't use an air conditioner, and you try to figure out how to survive without one of those things. If everyone did that, that would make a big difference.
What about a fan? Is that the same thing?
Well, fans use electricity, but not the same amount as an air conditioner, certainly.
Well, electricity isn't...
The thing is, you identify what is harming the environment. You know, something like an air conditioner not only uses a lot of electricity, it also harms the ozone layer. So you know that's something that you should cut down upon. Something like smoking cigarettes, like we discussed a couple of weeks ago, is something that is very bad for you health-wise, very expensive, and, you know, it's something that kills many, many people every year. So obviously that's something bad that's got to be cut down upon.
Yeah,
so
you
work on
say,
that.
Well,
you find the obvious culprits.
I know, but you can't just say that oh, everybody stop smoking, and then everybody's supposed to listen to you. I mean, nicotine
right, you can't,
is
but,
habituous.
But you talk to your friends and your family, and you at least get the subject raised and let them know that you're concerned about something like that.
Oh, so they're just supposed to drop smoking just like that.
Not just like that, but you start the wheels in motion. Nothing is going to happen overnight. That's the whole point, you know. You can't expect... the change to suddenly occur, you've got to build it up. And that goes for anything, any kind of change in your life.
But the way I
it's
see it, we already messed up our world. I mean, and it's going to be very hard to change it back.
But it's not impossible.
Not impossible.
So do we have a choice?
I think there's a bigger chance of us just living through this than, you know, just changing everything. We're probably just going to keep on living our same lives just like this. And then, you know, greenhouse effect.
Well, there's going to come a point when we're going to start seeing what we're doing and we're going to actually start feeling it literally. At that point, we may be motivated to start changing the way we do things.
Right, but then it's still... Well, I think we have to do something before... But, I mean...
Well, all I'm saying is, Andrew, you should start whatever kind of thing you think will help. Don't wait for everybody else, because you'll be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
This is true of groups of five people, you know. I don't know if you've ever been in some kind of a situation where, you know, you have to work in conjunction with other people. Whenever, you know, it's always, oh, I thought that person was going to do it. It's their job. I'm not going to do it because it's not my job. You know, if you get involved in petty things like that, you're really not going to accomplish much. You have to put aside those kind of things and realize that some things just aren't worth the hassle. You know, just do it anyway, so maybe you do more than your share. Who cares, you know?
Yeah,
who really cares?
I have a word of advice to Jim. if I think he shouldn't have kids either, because I'm sure the kids wouldn't want him either.
Well,
he wouldn't make a good father.
You'd be surprised the kind of people that can make good fathers.
Yeah. Well, not Jim.
Well,
okay.
Don't be too certain about anything. That's my advice to you. Anyway, I got to get on to more calls.
Oh, just wait a second.
Yeah.
Is there a way that I could be on your show?
That you could be on my show?
Yeah, like...
Aren't you on my show already?
No, I mean like a co-host or something.
What is going on around here? Everyone suddenly wants to be a co-host.
No. I could take calls and everything.
Well,
I have the first kid on your radio station.
Really?
This could be a great thing.
A great thing, huh?
Yeah, it would go down in radio history. And everybody likes me who calls in, except Mr. Radio. So, you know.
It's something to consider.
Your ratings.
It's something to consider. We'll talk about this in future moments, I guess.
Cool.
All right? Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Kids Today, what are you going to do? 39 minutes after 11 o'clock, 21 to 12, we have the brothers coming in. I haven't seen them, but I think they're around here someplace. Jim is flailing his arms about. Jim, what do you have to say?
Oh, Eric, you know, it's the young people today.
It is, aren't they?
Bless them, because it's the young people today that are the young people of today, you know that? I mean, it's these young people, you know? I mean, it's the youth. The youth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that all you had to say?
That's what I wanted to say,
okay,
Eric.
Well, I'm certainly glad you said that.
Thanks.
Okay, if
thanks.
I could...
I gotta go back. I think you better cut me off. I gotta go back to recording this thing.
Okay, cut him off there. Now, but I would like to convey a message to Jim. I see that the office line is ringing. If you could pick that up, there might be somebody who needs to do their show or something. Can't get into the building. No, actually, the building's open, so they shouldn't have a problem. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Northport.
Northport?
Yeah.
Okay. I know where Northport is.
Uh-huh.
Nice little village there.
Yeah, it's right. It's like right on the harbor.
Yeah, Northport Harbor. That's how it got its name.
There's a park there.
Now, you guys used to have a trolley going down Main Street, didn't you?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but you still have the tracks.
They still wheel it out occasionally.
Do they really? Down the tracks?
I remember a few years back they wheeled it out.
Where do they wheel it out from? Where do they keep it?
I think they got it in the firehouse somewhere or something, I think.
Wow, how is it the fire department always gets the good stuff?
I haven't seen that in a while, but they did do that a few years ago, I'm sure of it.
Yeah? The trolley ran, I'm just curious, where did it run to and where did it come from, you know?
I think it ran all the way from East Northport, Larkfield.
And you know... They used to be, when I was driving down 112 from Patchogue a few years ago, I saw trolley tracks there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be something to bring back.
Now, you know, and it brings to mind a very important thing. There is no north-south rail travel around here. There's only buses occasionally.
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
I don't know why they got rid of the trolleys, you know? I think trolleys are neat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. You know, mass transit could really save a lot of... pollution on the environment.
Sure it could. And there is mass transit in Suffolk County, but if you look at those little blue buses as they go by, you only see like two or three people in them sometimes.
Really not so good, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know,
the schedules could be much better. They could be much more flexible and, you know, go more places.
Yeah, but still, you know, most people still have to get to the bus stop, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you live, you know, 6 miles from the bus stop, you still got to go that 6 miles.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how we're expected
great.
To do that.
No, it's not that great. It's the train that they should really fix, because, you know, you got so many people going into the city.
How would you fix the train?
You know, they got to go high tech with these trains. We're being outpaced by the French and the Japanese in train design. You know, they're coming up with these maglev trains that run on superconducting materials that, you know, will go 300 miles an hour. And use virtually no fuel. It just runs on a little electricity to run the superconductive magnets.
Can you imagine going to New York City at 300 miles an hour? Let's see, from here, that would take about
you know, not
10
necessarily
minutes?
The speed, but, you know, since you're using virtually no power, you could build a huge train that could carry, you know, a whole lot of people. You know, if you could go that speed, of course, you could get trains back and forth much quicker to the city and back to pick up more people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really... You know, the expressway is terrible. You know, you go down that, you know, in the rush hour every day, it's horrible. If something goes wrong, it's worse. When it rains, you know, I mean, you know, really, it,
it's not the place to be.
No, it's not.
It's 7 in the morning. It really isn't.
But still, it is the place to be because...
You have to do it.
Right, you have to do it, and there's like place in the world that is so horrible for traffic. And if you can survive this, you can survive anything. But no, you're right. It should... We should be updating things. About the only update I know on trains that it's going to be technologically advanced will be the double-decker trains that are coming out to the Port Jefferson line, which also includes Northport.
Well, that's an idea.
That's next year. Next year you're going to be seeing trains going by. You won't have to get off at Huntington anymore, and they'll go from the city all the way out to Port Jefferson. And it's two levels on each car.
That's right. But
I don't know if it's going to save any power, but it's going to be interesting anyway.
But they could really save a lot of problems with that. You know, the way Long Island is, you always need it.
Right. Well, the thing is, you know, it points to an important issue. There is a solution. There are solutions being designed even as we speak. You know, we can save energy. We can come up with more efficient ways of getting places. So it's not a total loss. The thing is, we have to realize what our priorities are. And we have to, you know, we're in good shape now because a lot of the conflicts in the world seem to be abating.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
There's a lot of desire for peace and no more of these stupid conflicts. So now that we're at that stage, let's set our priorities straight. Let's say, okay, now that we can get along with each other, let's start saving this place and restoring it.
Yeah, it would seem to be that all these conflicts are slowly winding down.
And if we can share technology that all these different sides have been developing,
I would share the minds,
we'll be in, you know, you'll be surprised at what the human race can accomplish.
Yeah,
we can accomplish a lot, you know, a lot of bad things, but we can also accomplish a lot of good things, and we have, and we will, if we have a mind to.
Yeah, I think it is winding down a little bit, somewhat, you know, between the major powers at least.
Yeah, because it's not getting us anywhere.
China today and Russia are going to have the first summit since the 50s, I believe.
I believe May 15th they'll be having a summit.
They're finally getting together, and that's another superpower rivalry.
North Korea is making overtures again to South Korea, and
hopefully it'll stay that way. It's still not impossible that some crisis could happen.
Right. Well, there's always going to be conflicts, but as long as the conflicts don't cripple the progress of the human race, and that's really the only race there is here.
But I think the future isn't as bad as everyone would make it out to be.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, we are facing a crisis. There are definitely bad things that get me very upset and angry.
But I'm
an optimist. I have to say that, you know, it's always possible for us to solve our problems. I mean, who would have said a few years ago that we could actually be at the stage where we are now with the Soviets and things actually looking rosy, pull out in Afghanistan, all these nice things going on.
There are a lot of problems, but I think it's not out of control by any means.
And there always will be problems.
Sure, there always will be, but I don't think that our present problems are out of hand yet.
No.
They're going to destroy us if we, you know.
No, I think the problems are insurmountable only to those that pay too much attention to every detail of them. Because then you forget about, you know,
if all the money they use for the arms race and all could be freed up,
right?
They could, you know, they could solve so many problems right there.
AIDS research alone, you know.
It's unfortunate that, you know, it has to be that way right now to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But if it slowly winds down, that can become less and less of a burden on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if all that money was freed up, I think us and the Russians spend more than half of the total world expenditure on arms between the two of us.
Uh-huh.
So even if we managed to cut that by half, so much money would be freed up in both of our countries to fix things here and over there for them and, you know, whatever else, that things would really start to happen. Especially if they spent that money on, you know, say, national programs of research and development of high technology. And, you know, research on, say, like, whatever, AIDS or cancer or thing, you know, you would really see some results.
Sure. And the trade sanctions are about to be lifted, I understand. I hope they're about to be lifted because those are the ones imposed after the Afghanistan invasion. And if those are lifted, then, you know, there'll be all kinds of exchanges going on, technological-wise.
It's going to be interesting is in 92, Europe is economically unified.
Right.
It's going to be a single currency, so that's like an emergence, you know, like a new power group almost. It'll tend to balance things out instead of
you know, like the old way where it was just us and the Russians, like, a, you know, a two-power world.
Right, and of course the Asian continent will be coming into all kinds of prosperity.
That's true. They have the biggest growth for the next 20, 30 years will definitely be in China and Japan. So, you know, the world is changing in a lot of ways, and, it probably would tend to, you know, promote stability with the more people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the old days after Napoleon in Europe, there was peace for 100 years because there was a balance of power when nobody, you know, could, you know, defeat,
We have one thing for us now that we didn't have back then, and that's a lot more mass awareness, a lot more in the form of media with, you know, satellite communications and television and world press. You can get to a lot of people. You can convey images to them that you just couldn't do in the past. It was a lot easier to fall victim to propaganda, but now it's a lot harder because...
Well, could, too.
Well, yeah, but you can tune into alternative sources. You can see for yourself firsthand what's going on.
In a, you know, in a country like here or where you're close, like in Eastern Europe, they get a lot of, German TV and whatnot comes in over the border.
Right. And, even in the Soviet Union in the height of the Cold War, they were aware of what was happening here through the satellite technology, you know,
yeah,
in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, a certain amount of people.
And I'm sure that led to the changing in attitude that they had.
Well, and then, you know, you figure, you know, there's a new generation over there, too.
Uh-huh.
It isn't so colored by the Second World War as the other one, as the older generation was. They're all passing on slowly.
Anyway, sir, we want to get on to a couple more calls before we have to go tonight, so thanks very much for calling. 632-6901, area code 516. It's 11 minutes to 12 o'clock. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, two words.
Yeah?
Two words, urban renewal and internationalism.
Three words.
I said two words, and I said, three words.
Okay, it's two phrases.
Yeah, okay.
Three
well,
words.
I think that's sort of like what we have to concentrate on for the environment. First of all, you know the concept of megalopolis?
Yeah.
I think that has to be put into some sort of reality, that you have to concentrate a mass amount of people in a large area and free up the rest of the land. Do you agree?
That's cluster housing, isn't it?
No, megalopolis is basically the idea that the suburbs of each city are growing closer and closer together,
uh-huh.
will eventually form a one continuous city, like Boswash from Boston to Washington.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's something that we have to take into consideration. We have to look at it and we have to say, you know, that you have to concentrate a large amount of people in an area and then you have to free up the rest of the land for farmland and for to let just the land sit and grow and regenerate.
Uh-huh.
And also internationalism, we have to look at the world picture.
Well, I like that phrase. Is that your phrase, or is that a phrase that exists?
Urban renewal?
Internationalism.
Internationalism? I think it's a phrase that exists. I'm not sure.
Because nationalism is such a horrible thing, because that leads to all the divisiveness and eventually wars. But internationalism, that has a different ring to it. That could be our salvation.
I think it is. Internationalism
exists in New York City. To quite a degree, you know, people living together. I mean, of course, it doesn't exist to a degree, too, but I think we can look towards a place like that as an example.
Well,
the global village, you know?
Yeah, you have to look, because anything we do, it's no longer countries. It's now a world. We're one world. And no matter how different we are, we have to work together, and that's painfully true in the environment. We have to work as one, because America only accounts for a certain amount of, say, CFC production or CFC consumption, and only contributes a certain amount of the destruction of the ozone layer. And if we don't work with other people, no matter what we do, it may not be enough. And if you don't work with those other countries, how are you going to save the globe? It's their globe as well as ours.
That's interesting. You know, maybe that's the reason why everyone suddenly seems to be getting along. Maybe secret internal memos are being passed around saying, you know, the Earth is really about to be destroyed. If we don't get together now and start, you know, clearing up our differences, we won't have any reason to worry about it any longer. Something like that passed around in secret to all of the leaders of the countries in the world could very much explain why this is suddenly happening. I don't want
to,
you know, sound like a conspiracy type person, but that, you know, it sort of makes sense because we really are facing a major problem.
Have you ever read The Watchmen?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it was a comic book, but really sort of wasn't, more of a novel, graphic novel type thing.
Uh-huh.
Put out where basically the world was on the brink of nuclear war, and some guy tricked the world into believing that it was under attack.
Okay.
And in that way, he unified it. And that sort of is what is happening now. We're under attack.
What's the book that ends, was it Dr. Strangelove or something, that where he drops the bomb and it turns out to be a dud, and he ends by saying the bomb works better now than it ever did before?
No, Dr. Strangelove ends with the world blowing up.
And that's the, what's the other one?
I'm not sure, but I know Dr. Strangelove ends with the cowboy riding the bomb down.
Right, right, that's, okay, well, that's another one. I think it had Woody Allen in it.
I don't know.
No, maybe that's something else I'm thinking of. But he designs this bomb, and he drops it on the ground in horror, realizing he's about to destroy the world, and it doesn't blow up. And then someone asks him how the bomb is, and he says, oh, it's better now than it ever was before.
And
because it really doesn't exist.
Another question, going off of international. I like that, don't you?
Yes, yes. But you have to make it quick, because we have a bunch more calls to get to.
Okay, you're into astronomy.
Yes.
What's the status of Charon? Is it a sister planet? Is it a moon? Is it another planet?
Charon, is that Pluto? Wait, what's Charon? Tell me again.
Charon is the quote-unquote tenth planet. It revolves in like a dumbbell orbit with Pluto.
I thought that was Pluto's moon.
Yeah, but it's almost the size of Pluto, and they revolve in somewhat of a dumbbell orbit. So do you know anything?
I don't really know. You know, in fact, I remember they were talking about discovering a tenth planet a few years ago, and I never really followed up and found out what they had discovered. If it turned out to be a supposed moon, I would doubt that Pluto could have a moon because it is so small.
Mm.
So maybe it is a double planet of some sort. Mm. But it's funny how that it should be way out there, something as unusual as a double planet that we don't have any of near us. I'll tell you, though, when the space telescope is put up at the end of the year, we'll probably know. We'll know a lot of things then. And that could be what it takes to get everybody really into the future.
Mm.
You know, the kind of things we'll discover then.
I think we'll discover... No. We'll leave it in ambiguity.
Well, we'll see other planets, that's for sure. Other planets around other stars.
Okay.
And who knows what else.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for calling.
No problem.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Okay. I just had a couple of points to make.
Yeah?
First, that guy Jim who's talking about how no one sees the forest for the trees and it's such a pessimistic world and everything.
Uh-huh.
I was just today talking to some professional lobbyist up in Albany.
Yeah?
And he was, this was his first time he was ever out this far in Long Island, and he was telling me how wonderful everything looks and all the trees and everything.
Excuse me, what part of Long Island are you in?
I'm out by Middle Island.
Okay.
And I was saying how the building influx has really been taking out a lot of the trees, and pretty soon it's going to get really urban, like it's not already, but...
Uh-huh.
And he says to me, yeah, well, I hope that doesn't happen too and everything, and how... You know, there are people who realize what's going on, and there are people trying to stop it. I just want to let them know that there are people that do care about it.
There are lots of people that care about it. All you have to do is look in the newspapers, Newsday, local papers, Village Times, The Record, The Herald, all these papers. They're always editorials, letters, articles saying how it's got to stop, how there's no more room for all this development and shopping centers and condominiums. You know, we need space, we need trees, we need wildlife, we need all this kind of thing. And we have a government that is aware of this. It's up to us to support it. It's up to us to go to the occasional meetings and speak our minds and write those letters.
Right.
They do make a difference, a big difference, and one that will affect all our generations in the future. So, yes, very good point there.
And also, about the other guy who was talking about the superconductors.
Uh-huh.
That if the government could get some kind of investigative agency for just to work on superconductors, that could solve a lot of problems. You know, it's a big thing to say right now, but hopefully soon, if the government can ever get the appropriations up for it, it could solve a lot of problems.
It sure could. That produces electricity without any resistance,
yeah.
Right? And all kinds of other nice things. Well, we'll keep checking in on that.
Yeah, I'll let you get some other calls in.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
It's the know-all, see-all, do-all of radio. Oh, yes, boys and girls, get out the cassette recorders. It's Mr. Radio.
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds? I mean, you let that guy Jim ramble on for 20 minutes about stupid stuff.
Well, you see, it's traditional. When people call the beginning of the show, they get more time, but we only have 2 minutes left, so you got to hurry, and you only have 20 seconds now.
I'm going to do my material. I'm going to do my material, you know.
If you can do it in 15 seconds.
Corley.
If you were good, you could.
Corley, I'm not going to be pressed. You know, the great ones like me and Johnny Carson and Letterman, we don't get pressed.
4 seconds.
I do my material, and I don't have to fit it in your time slot. I'm sorry. I'm beautiful. I want to talk about Todd Bridges. I want to talk about Norm Abram. I want to talk about...
Infernal... Hell. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, that guy's crazy.
I know. But we love him anyway.
Yeah. Why do we have to talk about all this morbid stuff, you know?
Well, what would you like to talk about?
I don't know, some good stuff.
What's good? I mean, I don't think we've been morbid. I think we've been uplifting. We're telling people there's hope. And there is hope. There's good things ahead.
Yeah.
And we spent a good part of the program tearing down the pessimistic theory of it all.
Well, at least we have a future as of now.
Yeah, we do have a future. We always do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you look around, the world is a pretty bright place to be in.
Yeah. So, I just want to say about that Antarctica. I think we should just leave Antarctica alone.
Me too.
Yeah.
I wish we would, because Antarctica is one of those places that you can learn so much from, and you can only learn from it if it remains unspoiled. There's no desire to build houses there, certainly. There's no desire to settle there, but... scientists go there, they learn things, they study wildlife. I mean, you know, stay away from it. Let's not spill oil all over the place and do all kinds of nasty things.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think the same should go for the planets when we start discovering what's out there. Let's not destroy them, you know, at least not right away.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, I'm referring to that guy, Jim.
Yeah?
And, he mentioned something about, he wouldn't bring kids into this world because the way the world is today.
Yeah?
That, I disagree with that. I used to believe that way, but, when I bring a kid into this world, the kid may be able to make a difference and help change.
That's the whole point of kids. That's the whole point of succeeding generations.
Oh, yeah.
It all changes a little bit. You know, you learn from experiences. You learn from past generations' mistakes, and you move ahead somehow. And we have moved ahead in the last couple of centuries. In the last 40 years, I think the human race has moved, you know, forward, not behind. We've made a lot of horrible mistakes, but, you know, hopefully we'll never make those mistakes again.
Yeah, hopefully. there's a couple of things that I read in a well-known magazine about the garbage problem that we have here.
Yeah?
There is... 6,000 garbage dumps in the United States, and 5,000 of them are going to be closed by 1994. And Japan, they recycle 50% of their garbage, and certain other countries that I read about, they recycle like 30, 45. United States, so far, from what I read, had the lowest amount. They only recycle 6% of all the garbage.
That's going to have to change.
Oh, definitely. And another thing, I just wanted to say that this is the first time I've heard this show. I think it's a good idea that you have this.
Well,
it makes people aware, helps people become aware.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We don't always talk about serious things. Sometimes we're quite silly, but we do try to provide a voice. And that's what this radio station is all about. Where are you calling from, sir?
Quorum.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
Hope you listen again soon.
Bye.
And that brings us to the close of another exciting saga of Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Looks like Brother Bob is up next. Brother Bob, I guess Brother Bill and Brother Nick aren't around, eh? They're out of here? You mean out of here for good? Run out of the country?
No.
Oh, well, that's a relief. You'll be going on until what, 2:30? Or at least. Well,
yes, 2:30.
You may be hearing a lot of Bob tonight. I don't know.
12 to 2:30, 4:30 to 7.
Wow. A night full of Radio Free Bob here on WUSB. We'll be back again. Actually, I don't know if we'll be back again next week. I hear rumors of a basketball game next week, so it's possible we might not be around next week. But if we're not, we'll be around the week after that, I promise. So keep listening to 90.1 FM, Long Island's first station of the 90s. We'll see you soon. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to say goodnight to Jim. Jim, are you there? Wave to Jim. Jim, we have to say goodnight. Jim?
Yes. Hi.
We're saying goodnight. Oh, I forgot to say goodnight
nice.
To you.
That's very nice. Thank you.
You almost left without saying goodnight to people.
That's okay. Thank you.
Jim Wiener was here for at least part of the evening, and I was here for just about all of it. So, Jim, we'll see you in, what, 3 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
You.
Well, good night then.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.
And Eric Orley here. We'll see you next week or the week after, something like that. Bye.
All that you touch, and all that you see, all that you taste, and all you feel.